Okay, we're talking to Lynn King, who was a newsman at Wacky back in the early 70s. Lynn, we appreciate you taking the time to share your thoughts and memories with us. Tell me where you're from and where you worked in radio before Wacky.
Well, John, I'm from Mayfield. It's a little town in West Kentucky, town of about 10,000 people. Back then, it was a one-station town, a one-kilowatt daytimer with an FM that simulcast the AM. And or a record changer with a bunch of 78s on it, and the changer would drop the records, and that would be FM. My arms are hurting. The thing that got me into radio was delivering a public service announcement from the high school when I was a sophomore to the radio station. And I walked in. Of course, the radio station is very small. It's a 1 kilowatt daytimer. But I got to go inside the control room, and, I was freaking out. I thought I was in New York. All the lights, and there sat the disc jockey smoking a cigarette and spinning a record and, you know, and a big old yard board. I mean, it was really neat. That really intrigued me, and I would hang out at the station. But the general manager at one point said, hey, you know, we need somebody to work weekend. Would you like to do this? And I was, sure, absolutely. So I got on the air, and I started. Really didn't have a voice, but it still fascinated me, and I got to do what I wanted to do. And I remember going over to Paducah at the 10,000-watt station, WDXR, up on the top of the Irving Cobb Hotel. I mean, that was big time. Asked the PD for a job, and he said, okay. You know, you can work this weekend. Man, I was flipping out. I was going to be a disc jockey in Paducah on this 10,000-watt highway signals, about 50 feet wide, north and south, maybe 400, 500 miles long. We had a network, and I had a time post to hit. And I was really fascinated with the production of everything. The jingles, timing, back timing. Just really enjoyed it. Had a great time until I had to do news. Oh, man, I just... You know, hurry up, get through it. Let's get on, play music. So anyway, I worked back and forth through high school and in college, you know, continued doing a little bit here, a little bit there. And when I graduated from college, my first job, I interviewed with a PD at WDXR that was launching a UHF station in Paducah, Channel 29. I guess I was a good-looking guy because... They hired me as their co-anchor. I was really flipped out because I really didn't have any news experience. I got my first flavor of that. Scared to death. Absolutely scared to death. But I remember very clearly in a newsroom, edit room, Gary Guthrie. He brought an air check in of Wacky. Gary Burbank was featured on it. And we just sat there and listened to that air check. And it was like, I could just imagine what it would be like working there. Got to be really good buddies with a jock there, Nick Roman, and he was from Niles, Ohio. And he moved back to Niles and called me and said they need a news person at a station up in Niles and that they would probably hire me on the spot. I flew up, interviewed, they hired me, and absolutely was miserable. I had read somewhere that Wacky was looking for a news person. I sent a tape in, and Bob Watson called me and said, let's get you down here and do an interview with you. I did mornings at NIO. I was the only person in the news department, and the only day part they did news was in the morning. So for me to go to Louisville from Niles meant record a newscast, get in the car, drive south as fast as I could, do an interview, drive back, virtually be up 36 hours. I had problems driving down. Something happened. I think I ran out of gas in Cincinnati. Got there late. So late, in fact. Pounded on the front door. Gary opened it up and said, Watson's already left. Turned right around. Went right back to Niles and called Watson the next day. And he apologized. And I told him what I experienced on the highway. So we set up another interview. And this one I made. I got the job, and I was so happy. I could not tell you. I actually sat down on a calendar and counted the days I was in Niles. 62. And I was going to Wacky. Man alive, I was on top of the world.
What was being a newsman at a top 40 radio station like WAKY like?
If you can imagine yourself on vacation doing what you want to do and having the best time you could ever imagine and getting paid for it. That was like being the newsman at Wacky. That was like working at Wacky. It was really the first news department that I worked in other than the, you know, in TV. Because everywhere else, from when I started up to this point, news was basically a filler. It was a necessary evil, even during the Vietnam War. But actually, this was an honest-to-God news operation that was sort of like, I hate to say personality-driven, but it really gelled well with the production side. And I just really felt honored to be there. Honestly, I can never recall working at Wacky where I didn't want to go to work or I didn't want to show up. And it really wasn't work. It was just fun. You know, it was like going to an amusement park. You never knew what was going to happen. Very fast-paced. I mean, like we had ABC Contemporary that we used in a different format. We would take it and cut it up. It was really an opportunity to be as creative as you wanted to be. You were always in motion. And it was always fun laughing, and I just had a good time, you know, working with some really incredible people. Bob Watson was just unbelievable to work for, and I can still to this day hear that laugh. Reed Yaden, you know, as always, the morning people have a certain mystique about them, very prim and proper, all business, because he and Bailey were in a world of their own. And I started off working middays, working with Dude, and Bob was the afternoon guy, and then I would eventually slide into the afternoon. It was a great time, just being very creative, a lot of fun, a lot of energy, really too much energy. I put in too much energy. You should have been there. You just should have been there.
Okay, let's talk about some of the jocks that work there, like Bill Bailey.
Well, John, odd that you asked that, because I really don't have any answers except to say that Bill Bailey was Bill Bailey. Dude Walker, just like a piece of granite. Good-looking guy. Huge voice. Didn't move a lot. Yeah, well, we did play golf once, so he did all right. But he was just solid as he could be. Johnny Randolph, kind of goofy sometimes, tall, looked like a mortician, wearing his goatee. Johnny was a lot of fun. He could be pretty raw. Gary is the only person I've ever met in my life who I felt was like me to this day. I mean, I consider Gary, you know, my brother. We can go a couple of months and not talk to each other and just pick the conversation up where it left off from the last time we talked, and just one of the greatest people on earth. Very warm, compassionate. And I say more about Gary because I know more about Gary. You know, we were roommates in different places across the country that we worked at. We worked together, but, you know, Gary's Gary. Mason Lee Dixon, Dave Bratcher, he and I were at WDXR in Paducah. He was the overnight guy, and of course he was into stars and astrology and things that were really hip back in the 60s. Lee Masters, just guy never frowned. He always smiled. And Marty Bass was one of the Three Stooges, Gary, Marty, and myself. Marty ended up being my roommate when we went to New Orleans to this day. I just spent a few months ago a week out in Montana with Gary and Marty. We're friends, will be forever, and you know, it's just a very, very special class of friendship that I don't think I could ever repeat.
Okay, Lynn, I know you've got some funny stories to share with us, right?
Well, there are more funny stories that I can't tell you than I can tell you. I was doing a newscast once, and Gary had set up this lady to come in and undress her top and lay her wombles on my shoulder as I read. And he thought that was just the funniest thing in the world, was to see me, because I was always Mr. Straight. Somebody had to be straight in that place. Another time was the control room and the newsroom were separated by a terminal gear room. And there was a little space there. I took this little thing of pepper spray, and I just, and about 2-3 minutes later, Randolph's on the air, and he starts rubbing his eyes and running out, and the record was about to run out. He didn't want to go back in. And another one of the funniest things was Gary doing a live commercial. The house cleaner was vacuuming in the control room. Gary turned the mic off and yelled, and it was so loud. Even with the mic off, there was so much compression on the air, you could hear the scream in the background. Oh, that was classic. Gary and I racing motorcycles down the hallway. And Wacky had a long hallway. You go through the back door. There are all kinds of offices in the back, and then there's a little turn. You go by the GM's office and then out to the foyer, riding motorcycles up and down that. That was a hoot. But there were so many things that happened, like I said, that you just can't talk about that are just special. But it was a wacky place.
Okay, Lynn, was working at Wacky special? Was it a highlight in your career, or was it just another stop along the radio highway?
There'll just never be another one like it. It was, in my opinion, when I was at Wacky, broadcasting or radio was at its height. It was at the pinnacle of creativity, pinnacle of fun. It was time that I don't think could ever be repeated. It was very, very special.
Lynn, why do you think Wacky was such a successful radio station in the early 70s, and why do you think it's fondly remembered today?
One of the primary reasons that Wacky was successful, I think it had a lot to do in the name, W-A-K-Y, Wacky, and it just came across that way. It was a wacky place to work. It was a wacky-sounding station, very creative. It was all personality-driven. And boy, was it a hit.
When did you leave Wacky, and why?
The odd thing about leaving Wacky, and I really don't even know what season of 1974, is that I really had apprehensions about leaving all the fun and the people and the things that were going on there, the creativity. But it was an opportunity, and Marty, Gary, and I had an opportunity to be together and work building from the ground up a station that was really run down in New Orleans. But we took that same kind of environment from Wacky. You know, we had a great time there as well. But that's why I left, was just to have an opportunity to do something a little bit different. You know, after we talked about going, okay, let's try it out and see what happens. So we left.
Okay, Lynn, after Wacky, tell us what you've done career-wise since then and what you're doing now.
After leaving Wacky, I felt like I was the north-south arrow on a compass from Wacky to NOE in New Orleans. About a year later, from NOE to CKLW. CKLW was the big time, really big time. People were great. It was a lot of fun, but it was highly formatted, very structured. Performance was everything. I mean, absolutely everything. But after a while, I really missed the freedoms that I had gone through or that I had experienced at Wacky and in New Orleans. And I just kind of stepped back from the business a while and went back to New Orleans and, you know, did nothing for a while. When my money ran out, I called Byron and said, hey, I really made a mistake. Shouldn't have gone. Will you hire me back? And he said, if you will stay. So I went back. I spent most of my time looking for a job in New Orleans. I had found out about an opening at a station that was operated by former Wacky people who knew Gary. Al Smith was the GM who had been instrumental in putting the pieces of the pie together at Wacky that made it a success. But anyway, I went to New Orleans. I was there maybe 4 years. And then from there, Gary calls me up and says, hey, man, you want to work together again? Sure. So he said, well, they're doing something at WLW up in Cincinnati, and let's get together. I said, okay. So we went to Cincinnati and lived in this development that really had not taken off. And there were two houses on a hill. I had one. He had one. And we commuted together. I did morning news, and he did the morning show. And then we would come home and play. That was fun. He stayed. And I went to Atlanta, where I stayed for about 20 years, most of that time spent working at CNN, doing many different things. Started off as a writer at Headline News, and as they launched a radio network, I slid over to the radio side, became an anchor. Within 3 weeks, became the senior anchor. Shortly thereafter, was selected to crossed the Atlantic with Jacques Cousteau on one of his expeditions, came back, became operations manager of the network, and later became general manager of CNN Radio Network, went over to Headline News, and now I'm out with the cows, dodging hurricanes outside of Mobile, Alabama. Every day I receive scripts for show sponsorships. I voice them. upload them to a website. When they want them, boom, they pull them down, and that's it.
Thanks, Lynn. We appreciate you sharing your wacky memories with us today.